apologize. My whole thing got messed up. I have to use my cell phone here. I don't know what happened with the thing. Anyway, okay. We are on page 150. And it's addressing what the foolish people say. And in the feeling that they're helping others. In other words, I'm the one that's helping the person rather than the focus on Hashem. So he says like this, says he thinks that he's giving the sustenance to the people who get them, just like Hashem was gozer, that it's happening through him. In other words, there is a gzeira, but I'm the guy that's delivering it. I am of critical importance. And since I'm the guy who delivered it to you, and I am of critical importance, I make you remember the good that I did for you as if I was the one who gave it, as if I gave you from my money. I gave you what Hashem was gozer. Hashem decreed, and I'm the boss that's providing the money. I'm the source that's providing the financing. But Lamaisa, in my mind, I look at it as I'm the one that gave you, and therefore, I'm constantly, oh, you remember, you know, oh, don't forget, you know, I'm the one that gave you. The Chilkilos, as if he gave them, it sustained them. The Hiskatzet Bom Aleim, and he did the Chesed to them. The Roitze Sheyoi Duhu, he wants them that they should thank him. The Shabchuhu, and praise him. Harbe Aleim. Wow, you got, look what I did for you. Look what I did for you. I gave you your Parnosa. I gave you this. And serve him because of that. In other words, you're meshuvah to me. I've given you everything. I sustain you. It's all about me. And Memela, this is what he wants. He wants to be treated as such. The yisgoyev, the yigba, the yorm levovoy. And he has gaiva. I'm the sustainer. I'm the one who's the zonah mefarnes to all these people. And he forces the thanks upon them. And he thinks, this fool, that if he would not give the money, the monies would stay by him. And if not for him, they wouldn't have what to eat. Their sustenance would be suspended. He's the poor man. He's wasting his time in this world because he has it all wrong. He's working so hard to sustain other people with the attitude that he's the sustainer and that they owe him a living and that they owe him appreciation, that they should be praising him and they should be constantly obligated to him. And he is the poor man that he's wasting his efforts in this world and he's losing because of this his schar in Olam Haba. Now, this, I think, is a very significant paragraph, because on the one hand, this is really very foolish, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is goyzer a person's parnosa, and that which Hashem is goyzer, he's going to get. And if you volunteer to be the agent, you're going to give him money, or you're going to give him a job, or you're going to pay him his salary, but in reality, it has nothing to do with you. He is getting it from Hashem, and therefore, you're only the agent. He doesn't owe you his life. You didn't provide him. And don't be so foolish to think that if you would not give it to him, he wouldn't get it, because he would get it anyway. So this person really has it all wrong. Mitzad Sheni, we do know that the person who does give it to us, who's the agent of giving it to us, he has to be thanked and appreciated as if he himself gave. So it's a very interesting dichotomy. The reality is, you didn't do anything. It's all from Hashem. You were just an agent. You were just like the conduit to bring it to me. Mitzad Sheni, since you chose with your Rosan Hatoiv, with your good intentions to give it to me, I owe you thanks as if you actually gave it to me. So in terms of my appreciation to you, I have to appreciate you for what you did. In terms of your demands of appreciation, or you're thinking that you're the Baldover, or you're thinking that you're this big shot that has been able to sustain all these people, you're a fool, because that's not the reality. I have to thank you for your intentions and your efforts, but in reality, you didn't do anything. And I have two little stories, which I may have told before, but sometimes these stories are applicable to different parts of this text, and therefore, I think they're appropriate. One story I remember very vividly. I think I may have told it over here. I'm pretty sure, maybe someplace else. I don't know. As I always say, I talk so much about these inyonim, I don't remember what I said where. But it was, we're living in the San Fernando Valley. It was a November 9th, I remember, probably around 1982. Maybe three the most. And we used to divide the payroll between the Limudei Kodesh and the secular teachers on different days of the month so that it would be easier to manage. So the 10th of the month was for the Rebbeim. And one of the Rebbeim walks over to me on November 9th, day before, and says to me the following, I can quote it, I still remember exactly the intonation, "No. You think you're going to have money for the Rebbeim's payroll tomorrow?" So I said to him, I says, "I don't understand the question. Hashem is the one who gives parnosa. If you're supposed to get your parnosa, you'll get it whether I have the money or not. And if you're not supposed to get your parnosa, it makes no difference whether I have the money or not. So what are you asking me if I'll have the money for your parnosa?" It's the wrong question. The kids said, "Fine." The next day, came, I needed $8,500 for that payroll. I didn't have it. We had inherited an estate with some nylon webbing that we were trying to sell off, but whatever. I didn't have the money. Mail was coming to the lawyer's address, was the executor for the estate, or one of the executors, and for 6 months he hadn't brought in the mail. And I kept begging him and begging him, said, "Bring the mail, maybe." He says, "No, no, it's all junk mail. I looked, I see it's all junk mail." So, fine, I need $8,500 I didn't have. That morning, all of a sudden, I see his wife walks in with a cardboard box like this, big, full of junk mail from this estate that's been coming to the lawyer's address. I figured, who knows, just in case. And so I looked inside. I found an envelope, looked interesting. I opened it up, had a check for $1,000. Post from 6 months before, and fine, had $1,000. Okay, a little bit, but didn't help too much. I go into the shir, I come back after the shir, I ask the secretary, "If you just look, open the other envelope, see maybe there's something there." She finds another check, and it's for $7,500. 75, one is 85, the bank gives us instant credit. Okay, deposited the money and gave out the Rebbeim's payroll, fine. Next day, I walk into the office and I say, "You know, these checks are 6 months old." I asked the bookkeeper, call the companies. It was money that we had sent them, schoira, that we were trying to sell off, and they sent the payments to the lawyers. So that was the official address, to the lawyer's office. So I says, call these companies and tell them that we deposited checks that were 6 months old. We shouldn't have any problems. She calls the company. She gets the same story from both. "We ordered the schoira. You shipped it to us. We sent checks to the lawyer's office. You called us a month later and said you never received the payment," because I didn't know, we're sitting there for 6 months. "We canceled those checks and we sent you other checks. So we don't owe you anything. Those checks are no good." Fine. Meantime, the bank gave us immediate credit. The Rebbeim got their money. And that night, I think it was a Friday night, I was benching. When I say, that's exactly what I told him. "What are you asking me if I'm going to have money for the Rebbeim's payroll? If you're supposed to have your payroll, you'll get it whether I have money or not. If you're not supposed to have your payroll, it makes no difference whether I have money. I didn't have money, and they were supposed to get their money. I thought I had money. They got their payroll." And exactly what I told them. And that's exactly what it says over here. It's not totally in the agent. If you're supposed to get it, you'll get it anyway. What happened was, a week later, the $1,000 check came back because it was no good. And the $7,500 went back and forth from November to January to some bank in Seattle until finally they called me from my bank and said the check was no good. It took 2 months in interest-free loan. Anyway, That's the story. So we have to look at life that way. Don't you, as a provider, don't let Mr. Provider think for a moment that he's the one that's taking care of us. In reality, it's all Hashem. And he himself is fooling himself to think that he's any more than just a shliach. I guess that's, well, no, maybe just one more little story. Again, I may have told this before. When we started as a part of a day school, and we separated the high school from the day school. And at the initial meeting with the Balabatim, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Leibowitz, came out to the meeting, and he told him, he says, Rabbi Yisrael, you know, they're worried about finances. Don't worry, you have a shutuk that underwrites everything. You'll manage. Bekitzer, a couple of weeks later, a month or two later, I needed $1,000, and I walked over to a man, I met a man in a meeting who was at that original meeting. Taking out the money, the cash from his pocket, no problem. He says, where's your shutuk, Rabbi? So I said, what do you care if my shutuk sends it this way or another way? And he was offended. Because here he is giving me his hard-earned money, and I'm thanking my shutuf. So mitzad the donor, mitzad the giver, mitzad the provider, we have to be very careful to be makir toiv as if he's the one who's doing it. But to realize ultimately that it's all from Hashem, and he should realize that he's not the baldover, he's only the shliach to do it from Hashem. Okay, let's move on. But the wise person, he acts in these three ways on the proper way for Torah and for his world, for his olam haba, his olam hazeh, everything. He says his bitochin, that in that Hashem has the sustenance. And everything that he has and that he needs is more than his trust and what he has in his own hand. He doesn't know whether he's going to get mozon or kinyan. He's working for this world and for to get the benefits in this world and to get the benefits in the next world. So the true Yoreh Hashem realizes that everything is really beyond Hashem. I really have nothing. I can't trust anything that I have because I don't really have anything. And it's all up to Hashem. Now, he talks again now about another foolish person. On page 154, there are people that only try to get money and to increase their wealth, elal avas hakovoid mibnei odom, velazis lahem shem. They want money. Why? Because they want to get. Because they love COVID, and they want to make a name for themselves. And that's really so profound in reality, because we find that a person who has money in the world, he has COVID. He respects him. Oh, he's a great segvir. I mean, even in halacha, by the way, there's a basis for that. Because it says in halacha that a person who's wealthy should be respected because mistama, he has some schus that Hashem granted him all that wealth. So he's a bal hatova, he's a bal madrega. He must be something because he had some schus that he was granted the wealth. So anyway, but he only wants it for the COVID. The last is lehem shem, to make a name, a reputation for himself. The ain maspik lehem imenu shum dovo. And whatever he has is not enough. The sivlus mehem besibas hakovod b'ilma zivlum abo. And this is such foolishness. Tichlus, I'm sorry, it's foolishness. Because in COVID, in this world, the next world, the gurim lehem ze, masher royim mikvoid ame horetz l'anshe amomon. And this causes them to be foolish, because what COVID? Because you have money, you deserve COVID. You didn't. The money is from Hashem. You want the COVID. It's not coming to you. But he says that it causes them that because they see amaratzim, people that don't realize what true values are, that when they see anshei momoin, Oh, they have great derecheres, and the kovod for them is what? What's the kovod they have? They really have kovod for this man? He says the secret of their kovod is that they desire what he has. And to draw away from what he has in his hand, to take it into my hand. So this whole business of kovod is such a thing that we want kovod because we want money because we want to be honored and we want shame in this. And in reality, when we see rich people, what we're really saying is we're not giving them kovod. The kovod that they get, it says, in reality, that's not kovod. Oh, this man is so wealthy. Oh, this man was such a kovod. Nah. The real feeling in the heart is not this one of great reverence and respect. It's rather one of, I wish I could take it away from him. I wish I could get it. And Memela, it's not such a big mila. Ve'ilu hiskilu ve'hevinu, if they would only realize, ki ein beyecholtam, it's not in their capability, v'lo bekoichum, and not in their strength, loy loses v'loy limnoya, not to give and not to take, el misha goza loy habere etzlam, loy hoyu mekavim lezulosoi. It says, if a person would realize, in other words, what's the mistake over here? Oh, I want kovod, I want ashiros, I want his money, I want money, so I should have kovod. He says, everything is one thing. It's all from Hashem. It's, you don't have the ability not to get, not to take. The only one who will have is the one that Hashem grants it to. So don't look at him and say, I want from his. And don't look at him and say, Oy Gevalt, who is this man with this great wealth? Whatever Hashem wants to give, that's what he gets. It's not him. It's not his godless. It's not even his business acumen. It's not his MBA from Harvard. It's nothing. It's all what Hashem has given him. So that's the true perspective on life. They wouldn't hope to anybody else. They wouldn't look to anyone else because it's all from Hashem. And these people, why should I give them kovod? The one that's worthy of kovod is not the one that Hashem has blessed with money, but the one who has milas, has praiseworthy qualities. That this person is worthy for kovod from Hashem because of the personal midos and milas and shleimus and development. That's what's worthy of kovod. So here, I guess that he's, to minimize a little bit the jealousy that people have, and jealousy leads people to focus on getting someone else's money rather than the focus on Hashem. So he's trying to negate that, and he says nothing. This guy has nothing. Anything he has is all from Hashem, and the only and he's not even worthy of kovod. What's kovod? Hashem gave him the money. Okay, there is such a thing. He must have some schus, but not the level of kovod that we give is not because of his schus. If the same person who didn't have money but has schusim, you wouldn't give him that kovod. So the kovod, our focus, which is incorrect, but our focus is because this man has money. He says that's not kovod. What's worthy of kovod is someone that Hashem would be machavid, somebody who has his own personal shleimus, and then he brings the posuk, ki machavda yechabed, those that are machavid me, in other words, that those that reach their personal shleimus, and they give kovod to Hashem, those are the people that I will give kovod to. And then he continues. Umipnei shesovlu amei oretz b'chavdom balei amomen b'sibas hakovod, says Amaratzim, who are mechabed the balei momen, are suffering. That's a stivlus or stichlus. I can't see if that's a chof or a with my reading glasses. I think it's a chof. Stichlus besibus bakoshosum. Hashem shows them the foolishness on what they're looking. And these people who look at things this way, they're going to be spending their whole life pursuing and all kinds of hishtadlus and yerabo. Not vihinichu ma shehoyu chayovim lishtadl boy ulemayer elo mehashlim chayves habayir asher aleihem. Says in reality, it all comes from Hashem. But these people who are so caught up in the covet of money, in the covet of the rich people, in the jealousy of the rich people, what Hashem does to them, they're going to be, my whole life, I got to work money. What do you mean? This guy is already a billionaire. I have to catch up with him. I have to make, I'm really jealous of his money, but at least I got to go out and make my own. And Memela, he leaves everything and he really thinks it's all totally in his ishtadlus. Vihinichu ma shehoyu chayoven lishtadl boy, and he leaves that which he was really obligated to be mishtadl, well, emayer elov mehashlim choyves habayre. To what's the real hishtadlus? If the money is what Hashem is decreeing for us, then the real hishtadlus is to fulfill the responsibilities from Hashem. Asher aleim ulahoydos al toivosav, and to thank Hashem for all the good that He's given me. And he'll be sooner to achieve his desires and his requests this way, because he's dealing directly and thanking the Creator Himself, the one who is the one who's the Goyzer, the one who gives the parnosa, rather than all these other people. Belis sofik Moshe Omar, Orech Yom v'Minu v'Smeil Oishu v'Chovay v'Oishu v'Kovid milfonech Oishu, and Kovid all belongs to Hashem. And I'd like to stop here for a moment. It's almost the time, but I would just like to mention something which I think is very significant. The idea of hishtadlus. And this the Beis Halevi repeats it, and again he says there's a very big mistake. Hishtadlus does not affect the gzeira whatsoever. It says Hashem is gezer on Rosh Hashanah, sealed on Yom Kippur, how much money a person is supposed to make. Right? Mi'eoni, mi'eoshe b'chulei. You want to beat the system? You're going to work overtime and you're going to make more money? You're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to... It will not help. It doesn't help. Sometimes it looks like it helps because we don't see what else we lose in the process. And sometimes it looks like it helps because in reality, this year Hashem was gozer more. We're supposed to get more, so we can't really tell. But what do? We go to the boss. A person wants a raise. So there's the bookkeeper in the company, and then there's the boss. So he wants the raise. He ain't going to go to the bookkeeper and say, please, I need a raise. The bookkeeper has no power. Has to go to the boss. We have to deal with the boss. You want to do more hishtadlus? That will not get you any place because you can't fight the gzeira. You want to change the gzeira? Go to the gzeira. Go with tshuva tefilu tzdokah b'aviras ra gzeira. Go with tefila is can change the gzeira. Go with bitochon, that can change the gzeira. But you have to deal directly and completely and totally with the person himself. Anyway, that's the story, Rabbi. Say, have a good evening. Sorry for the inconvenience. I got a little messed up. Call to
thank you.